Welcome to episode 50, right? 50. The actual, so this is the actual 50th episode. Andrew thought the last episode was episode 50, but I tried to tell him he was wrong. He didn't listen, but it's okay, right?
I don't fucking know.
Welcome to episode 50 of the Just Keep Spinning podcast. My name is Andrea and I'm here with...
I'm Andrew.
And we actually have a very special guest today. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Davina Griego.
And
I live in downtown Phoenix.
Yeah, so we're doing all this via Skype. So obviously, as our listeners know from the past few interviews, we've been doing Skype interviews to kind of keep things going because traditionally we do them in person. But we're keeping everything going and providing content for you guys and interviewing people within the community that we feel deserve to be highlighted. And so what the next thing we want to highlight is the segment that a lot of people actually love, which is the birthday segment. So,
but first, how can they find us, Trey?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I've been so bad at that. You can find us on Instagram at Just Keep Spinning Podcast. You can email us at justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com to say you love us, you hate us, you want us to be quiet, you feel like we should interview somebody, whatever it is, we're here to listen to you. And you can find us on pretty much anywhere podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, what else, Andrew?
iTunes. Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts, not iTunes.
Whatever.
Google Podcasts, all that kind of stuff. And Davina, where would you want to be found by people if they do want to follow you?
Sure. My handle on Instagram is at Davina Davi. It's D-A-V-I-N-A, D-A-V-I.
Perfect. So go ahead, Andrew.
Okay. Do you know the number one song on the Hot 100 on the date of your birth?
On the day you were born.
Whitney Houston.
That's a good guess.
I want to dance with somebody.
That's a good guess. So I'm going to give you the top five. And so this is the week of your birth.
Which is November 27th, 1985.
Number five was Heart, Never. Number four was Glenn Frey, You Belong to the City. I've never heard of that song. Or I probably know that song, I just don't know who sings it. Number three is Mr. Mister, Broken Wings. And number two is Starship, We Built This City, which I love that song because it makes me think of Muppets. And number one was Separate Lives with Phil Collins and Marilyn Martin. I don't know if I know that song.
I feel like wow.
Do you know the number one song?
No. I'm sure I've heard it.
Do you know any of those songs that we named by chance?
A couple of them.
Okay, yeah. The same when we always like look it over before we say it to you, like and to whoever the guest is, and we're always like, which songs do we know? So
yeah,
do you remember that a while back on social media? So when we started the podcast, one of the big things that was going around on social media was basically the number one song on your 14th birthday was a song that was supposed to define your life. Do you remember that at all? No. Okay, so this is going to be good then. So what Andrew's going to do is count from 10 to 1. And then when we get to 2 after that, we'll let you guess maybe what the number one song is. But then, you know, supposedly per that meme or whoever made that, that's supposed to be the song that defines your life.
Okay, so number 10 is Puff Daddy, Satisfy You. Number 9 is Jennifer Lopez, Waiting for Tonight. Don't know that song. Number 8 was Mariah Carey featuring Jay-Z, Heartbreaker. I do know that song. Number 7 is TLC, Unpretty. Number 6 is Whitney Houston, My Love is Your Love. Number 5 is Jessica Simpson, I Want to Love You Forever. Shit, I forgot about this song. Oh, yeah. Number 4 was Lou Bega, Mambo Number 5. Fucking hate that song. Number 3 was Mark Anthony, I Need to Know. Number 2 is Back at One, Brian McKnight. And do you have any idea what number 1 would be?
It's like the most obvious number 1 that you're going to be like, you're either going to get it right away or it's just going to slip your mind. And when we tell you, you're going to be like, of course it was.
And what year was it again? So,
1999.
Like my 14th year of life.
Yeah.
Got it. Oh my God. 99. It was probably some shitty like rock band.
You're like, was it Disturbed? It's actually, so it's a collaboration between like a guitar legend and then someone that was in like an adult contemporary band at the time, the lead singer.
Oh, damn. Santana and Rob Thomas.
Yes, smooth. Right?
So that is actually Drea's song as well.
That's my number one song for my birthday, or my when I was 14, because my birthday is October 27th.
So that shit stayed at the
point. Oh, dang. So we're a month apart.
Yeah, yeah, so we're a month apart. And that song, cool. The whole, for that whole 30 days where we were.
I actually stayed at number 18.
Yeah, I mean, at I number remember.
One, 18 weeks.
It was at number one for 18 weeks?
Yeah. Or it was on the chart for 18 weeks. It's a lot of fucking time.
That's a long time.
God, that song.
So does that, define your life? Has your life been smooth?
I don't think so. Absolutely not. No.
You're like, I'm a little skeptical of this theory.
I was raised by my grandparents. So I'd like to joke that I'm a product of the 50s. I don't really like to conform to this. To the term millennial, and maybe that's like the most millennial thing that I can say. but like, so they raised my sisters and I, and you know, I was still writing essays in 2003 in high school on like a typewriter because we didn't have a computer and we were poor. So
are you initially from here?
No. I grew up in, I like to say, the high deserts in the Mojave Desert, so north of LA, in a small town called Barstow. Oh,
okay. I've heard of Barstow, like I passed through it.
Farmer's market. Yep. Yeah, very small town. I think a lot of people, they look at me kind of surprised when I tell them if they know of the town. But it was funny this morning at the farmer's market because they had asked me that. And I told them, the high desert, been traveling back and forth to see my family the last couple of weekends. And they're like, oh, yeah, that sounds much nicer than saying that you're from Barstow. There's not really any shame I have no shame in where I come from. I appreciate it much more now that I'm older. I absolutely love the Mojave Desert, and there's just some very bad associations with it, I guess, because it's I think this goes for all small towns across the U.S., right? Where I think in like the early 90s, like you had either a Walmart or like a Home Depot come in, and it totally ruined the local economy. And so in our case, a lot of because of this, a lot of the real estate was super cheap to house like Section 8 folks from LA. So they brought them up. And unfortunately, you know, as this happens, like a lot of the crime went up and like the local economy went down. And so you just kind of get caught in this cycle of like if you're poor, you know, you end up in a small town, they don't have a lot of opportunities there. And so maybe you end up pregnant or on drugs in jail. And so I'm very fortunate to have come out of that. That took a dark turn.
No. And then we always want to remind you that the episode is about you. It's not about us. So we're here to listen to you and like to push the conversation along. But don't worry. Don't feel like you're babbling or talking too much, because that's what some people are like. Am I talking too much? I'm like, no, you're supposed to talk. It's okay. But that's, you know, that's interesting, because like we always say, Arizona is filled with a bunch of people that are. A lot of people that are they're just from initially from elsewhere. So, and I think it always kind of like makes our state like a little bit, I don't mean weird in a negative sense, but it just, it kind of gives it its own personality, the fact that everybody else is almost from somewhere else, sort of thing. So,
absolutely.
Growing up, was there music in the house? Did you guys listen to music? Was it a thing, radio?
Yeah, I guess that was my initial point, was that, so my grandparents raised me. They, my grandma is from, she grew up in Germany, in Heidelberg, during World War II. She was there, and my grandpa was over there, and he's from La Jolla, New Mexico. So he was over there. That's where they met. They got married. They came back. So a lot of the music that I grew up with was polka. Like my grandma had like her German music, and my grandpa listened to ranchera and banda, and that's kind of where I think my love of world music came from, was from them. And that's why I think you're just listing the top five there of songs when we were born. I think I knew two of those songs just because I was listening to a lot of, ranchera music in my childhood.
That's interesting. So was it mostly that they were playing like whatever they were playing? Did you guys ever listen to the radio?
No, not much. He had like a tape deck. So we had a lot of tapes. We would go up to the Oktoberfest in Big Bear, California every year. That was a tradition that we had. So even prior to my being born, they had gone up there, I think since like 78, they've been going every year. Damn. So my auntie or my grandma, she would make our dirndls. Like our German dirndls. And so we would go up there and
that's so cute.
So we would go up there and enjoy the German band that they would hire, and we would all dance, and my grandpa would dance all day, I think for like 12 hours. it was a lot of fun.
That's
neat. But no, not much radio. I do remember for the first 5 years of my life, I lived with my mom and my dad and brothers. And I think I was like 4 years old, maybe, when the Sinead O'Connor Nothing Compares to You video came out. And I remember sitting in front of the TV watching that video, and like, I didn't know what she was saying, but because she looked so sad, I was just like so empathetic, like watching her, and I would cry with her. Aww. Watching this video.
Well, it didn't help in that music video that they like showed the graveyard, and isn't she walking through the graveyard?
Yeah, I think so. So that was one memory I have of I guess just in terms of music,
like something more like of that time, like of that like exact time when you were existing, of like that was current, and you're like that like impacted you, not necessarily like in a profound way, but you're just like, oh, like she's sad.
Yeah.
That's like my daughter's she'll be 15 this year, our daughter, and when you know something so small like Bad Romance by Lady Gaga, when that video had came out, she was I think she was in kindergarten. But then there's a part in the video where Gaga's like in the bathtub and her eyes are like huge, and it looks like she's like crying, and my daughter's like, "Oh, look at her. Oh, I think she misses her daddy." Cuz Andrew had just been away and he was in California for school, so we were here by ourselves, and I don't know, but that impacted her in some way where she was just like identified with like, "Oh, she's sad."
It's so funny.
So do you know where, like, since the town was so small, like where he got his like tapes from, because you said he would like had like his cassette deck, do you know, would he have to travel outside of town, or was there maybe somewhere in town where he would get them?
You know, I don't have an answer for that. I'm not sure. I would imagine maybe like Radio Shack. I don't know if he already had them. I don't know. That's a good question. I'll have to ask my dad that.
Yeah, let us know too, right?
Yeah. Do you remember the first like piece of tangible media you actually bought, like music wise?
I do. It was a cassette tape of Ace of Base. The Sign. yeah, we would, my sisters and I, and our lifetime best friend or childhood best friend, we would choreograph dances to this cassette tape in our bedroom when we were little. It's quite entertaining.
Do you still have that tape?
It's got to be in a box somewhere.
Do you remember any of the routines?
No, not at all.
She's probably thinking of you right now, like, yeah, I remember this one arm movement, like, you give a wave.
I know.
I'm sure, though, it's like one of those things, if you do put it on, like, it'll, like, come back to you where you remember, like, certain parts, like, I'm pretty sure we did this at this part.
Yeah.
Ace of Base. So was, I can't remember, was Ace of Base, were they German?
They were, I think Swedish.
Yeah, okay, Swedish, you're right.
Somewhere in Europe.
You're somewhere over there. So growing, say, when did you start to kind of like come into your own musical taste? Like, was there anything specific that you liked? Because I know obviously that era, like we're pretty much the exact same age. So like I was a victim of the era too, and I don't care. Like I'll tell people, I'll admit it. I liked NSYNC. I wasn't like psychotically fanatical, I don't think. Like, but I did like NSYNC. I liked their songs. I did go to a few of their concerts. I didn't like hate the Backstreet Boys, but you know, I listened to some of their music, but I don't know, I just, for whatever reason, I liked NSYNC and stuff. Was there anything even before that era that you kind of liked on your own that you started like coming into your own musical tastes?
I feel like it kind of goes back to, there's this one particular summer in third grade where my auntie would take my sisters and I swimming. And after we would go swimming, so on the ride home, she would throw on Avalon by Roxy Music. And I loved this song. Like, we would all try and sing it in our chipmunk voices in the backseat. And I feel like this particular song just really influenced a lot of what I listen to today. Like a lot of the like ambient kind of new age electronic stuff. My dad even, he loved this new age artist, David Arkenstone. So these are artists that I think kind of paved the way for me in terms of what I listen to now. I guess like going back to what you said about NSYNC, I think I kind of enjoyed their music. I was more, I really loved like the early 90s R&B music. So like Boys to Men would be maybe the equivalent of that, but like a few years earlier. I think after high school, I moved out here and a friend introduced Bjork to me, and that was, she was really like where I started like that rabbit hole in terms of finding, you know, new music like that. I guess one thing led to another, and now I have a very eclectic taste in music. I love everything.
So before you moved out here, had you visited, or did you just blindly move out here? Because I know a lot of people that actually do just kind of like blindly move here without ever really visiting.
So my brother lives out here, and it, again, kind of going back to that small town,
kind of toxic vibe. I remember, like, in seventh grade, it had always been a plan of mine since seventh grade to move out here to live with him. And that's what I did after high school. I graduated at 17, so I was pretty young. So I had to wait until I, you know, turned 18 and came out here, went to school for a couple of years. And, you know, I had some plans, but obviously life happened. And here I am.
You're all, so things didn't go as smooth as I thought. And then here I am now.
Right. Exactly.
Do you remember the first record that you bought by chance?
You know, I think about that. I really wish I did. But I don't remember. It was probably like a Duke Ellington jazz record or something.
Did you buy before you came out here or after?
It was after. So in 2007 was when I started collecting records. I think at that time, because I was still pretty heavily influenced by, like, my dad's taste, so a lot of classic rock, like Pink Floyd, I think. I don't know. I feel like that's kind of the go-to for anybody who is starts collecting records, maybe. I could be wrong.
It's like standards, like everybody kind of has.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's, yeah. And then from there, I think the last few years, though, I've really enjoyed collecting like newer artists and digging deeper and finding, you know, those producers that have influenced these other artists that I love to follow. William Onabor comes to mind.
So I have actually a kind of random question. Did you ever have an iPod?
I think probably like some one-off version of it. Yes.
Did you like, were you the type of person that was like super meticulous about like your music and what you'd load it, like how you would load it? Because I know people that would spend their time and like organize it, and people that were like, I'm just going to throw everything in there and I'll figure it out later. And like, were you just kind of like, would you upload it on there?
You know, I feel like I only had one for a very short period of time. As I mentioned, I'm not very tech savvy, nor am I organized. So, and this was at a point in time, I think I had just gotten a laptop. So I was, you know, transferring music from my laptop to the little iPod thing that I had. But I ended up losing it. I was skateboarding downtown somewhere and had a really bad fall and lost it. And that was my last iPod. Oh. And now we have our smartphones with exactly. With Apple Music and Spotify.
So do you use Apple? You use Apple Music?
I do. It's really funny. I use Spotify and Apple Music just because sometimes Spotify won't have what I'm looking for, and then like vice versa. So I pay for both platforms.
So I've pretty much, I had an iPhone, I think it was a 4, I think. That was like an in-between phone for me, but I pretty much always had Android phones. And then recently I switched to iPhone, and I tried to get used to Apple Music and I felt like I just couldn't do it. So I downloaded, which I was already paying for anyways, Google Play Music on my phone, because they have a huge catalog. So I noticed if something's like, pretty much it's very rare that I won't find something on Google Play Music. So just in case you ever want to look, go down that route for some reason. I know it's foreign to people.
But good to know. Yeah,
their catalog is huge. And then like what happens to, so if you search for a song and for some reason they don't actually have it, then they'll pull the song from YouTube and they'll bring up the YouTube videos of it. And you can play it from there if you want.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting. So how did you start kind of like playing like more like how you share music? Because obviously you're recently on Record Bar Radio, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how did you find out about Record Bar Radio?
I was asked by Jake Stellerwell. It was actually quite a few months before they launched Record Bar that he had reached out to me and asked if I was interested in working in a record shop. I think was the initial question. And then finally I got the text from him or whatever it was, asking if that we would have, that they were going to be having a radio show. So we need to figure out like our concept, any kind of concept art. And that's kind of where that was conceived.
So how did you, when you first went there, I'm trying to remember, because Record Bar has only been around for a few months, like right before, like I know it was a thought of like a while back, like it was in, like the concept was there, but it didn't, like the launch of it just happened to coincide with all of the stuff going on.
It's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it happened kind of serendipitously, just because it's, I think, was in need for the community to have something like this. And where nobody really had anywhere to go, you know, so it was a really nice way to tune in and listen to, you know, your favorite DJs in Phoenix.
So how did you start playing? Was it just like because you would go out and see, like go out to nights and you would see DJs play and you already collected like kind of music and records and you kind of went from there? Or how did you kind of start playing yourself?
Yeah. So I had been going to 6-0 Tuesdays. I think I was going pretty consecutively for an entire summer. I think it was in like 2010 or 2012. And I was just hypnotized by Alex, and really one of my heroes. And I think we can all say that he's one of our favorite DJs in Phoenix. Yeah, I was just so fascinated by the whole setup and his whole style. He's really an inspiration in terms of why I collect a lot of the different world music that I do. But it wasn't until, I think, 2 or 3 summers ago, a friend of mine, Shane Kennedy, had a gig at this spot called the Deli Tavern, which no longer exists, but it was just around the corner from Valley Bar. And so he asked me to fill in, and I think they asked me to come back for, I had a residency there on Friday nights. So that's kind of where it started, just because I was playing more consistently. And then I had Michael is a local DJ here, Mike Hill. And we had met up at, I used a hostess for Acatillo restaurant, and I would make the playlist there. And Sean Watson would play there on Sunday sometimes. So he would have a fill-in if he wasn't able to make it. And so Mike Hill came in and we got to talking, and we started talking about Hot Pink. I don't know if you guys remember Hot Pink. It was back in like 2005. It was a night, a dance night out here on, I think it was once a month on Friday or something. But it was such a magical place to be at that, like in that space and that time.
So where was it hosted at? The party, where was it at?
It was at Carambas on McDowell.
Okay.
right next to Authentic Ethiopia. Shout out to Authentic Ethiopia, by the way. I love that place. So yeah, it was at Karamba's. And so anyway, we were talking about that and how we wanted to bring this night back, kind of an homage to Hot Pink. And so we collaborated and came up with this night that we hosted at the Lunchbox. And it was in the middle of summer, I want to say. So it wasn't like the most ideal weather to promote and have people expect to come out. But also because the Lunchbox is a little far away from downtown. So it ended up, I mean, it was really fun while it lasted. I think from there, that's where I met Eclair Slattery. She's another really amazing local DJ here. And kind of, I guess we could say famous, like in Tempe. She also hosts The Vanishing Show out in Tempe. So we got to talking and we wanted to do a collaboration together. And that's kind of where Maintenance came about. And so we had this idea to use our platform at Valley Bar, because we pitched this idea. And so they gave us this night, and it was a way where we could use our platform for kind of up and coming other femme and queer and femme-identifying DJs to kind of balance out like the male to female
ratio, because it's kind of dominated. Yeah,
it's so male dominated, and so that was kind of our goal, was to uplift other females in the music scene in Phoenix.
And how did that, because I did see Maintenance, I remember seeing it online and stuff like that. So were you guys doing it up until the pandemic? Was it like a consistent thing, or was it like you would visit it whenever you guys were able to, like for Maintenance?
Yeah, it was once a month. Oh gosh, I'm spacing now in terms of how many times we did it. It was once a month. It's been so long. So yeah, it's once a month. We would play at Valley Bar, typically on like a Sunday or Wednesday. We would go out there and it ran from 9 to 1. We would switch off, and then we'd have our guest join us as well. But yeah, that was a once a month residency that we had.
So
up until the pandemic,
when you first started playing, like you were saying how you kind of like your first kind of gig and whatnot, were you ever nervous, or was it more just like, oh, whatever, I'm just kind of doing something that I like to do?
I'm still nervous. So yeah, I mean, at the beginning, just because it was like a little, so the Deli Tavern, it was a very small, like little, bar / restaurant. So, while I was really grateful to have the opportunity to just to get to spin records, and share, you know, my collection, and music with people, I struggled for a really long time with this, what do you call it? Oh my God, what's the word? Imposter syndrome.
Okay, I know what you're saying.
It was something where I where I wasn't really like, should I be doing this? I'm not even like a real DJ just because like I don't know how to do this, or I don't know how to do that. And I don't know, I think it's really unfortunate that, you know, I'm like telling told myself these things. But I think everybody, any creative, I think, suffers from that.
Do you think it's more prevalent in women, though, than in men?
Absolutely.
I agree.
And that's why I'm saying, like, I, you know, you're asking me this and I'm saying like, oh yeah, like I still get nervous. Like I know what I'm doing, but I guess for me, it's more about the music. I don't know why it kind of bothers me when people talk about like, oh, it's black vinyl is better than colored vinyl because of the way that it sounds. Like, I don't care about any of that. I don't know. Maybe I should, but sorry. I don't. I just care about the music, and that's really it for me. I don't know. Maybe that limits me in certain ways, but I'm happy doing what I do.
Yeah, I agree, because I think sometimes people, like, I see people, they'll start out collecting, which is, you know, fine or whatever, but then it, like, devolves into, like, more of something else, and then it's like the whole love of the music is lost sort of thing, which, I mean, is okay. It's not like I'm judging people, but it's like ultimately the reason why you know, a record, it has music on it. So unless you're, you know, like you're a record store owner and your purpose is to provide that product, you're consuming it in that sense, like you're selling it and stuff. But it's like, it bums me out, because I'm just like, we're the same way. We both just really love music. That's why we have the podcast, to like showcase and highlight you guys that also love music and love to kind of just like be involved in things like that. So I appreciate your honesty on that, though, because a lot of people will always shy away from that.
Yeah.
I'm saying that. So go ahead. Were you going to say something?
Maybe I'm also honest. No, just that I'm honest kind of to a fault, and very blunt. I think it's the Sagittarius in me. I'm in trouble a lot because of that.
You're a Sag, Andrew's a Libra, and I'm a Scorpio. Yes, I'm a Scorpio. Everyone could send their daggers to me. Yes. That always happens. It's like, when's your birthday? And I'll tell them, and they're like, oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
So have you actually done your full chart, like your astrological chart?
I am a subscriber to, CoStar.
Okay, I know what CoStar is.
It's this really cool app. So yeah. So
does it send you like really shady updates about yourself sometimes?
It does. There was this one. Oh my god! One day it sent me this one that said, "Try not to talk shit today." I was so called out.
You're like, CoStar has my back. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! You should do a set dedicated to CoStar. And have it just be like all crazy and insane. Like, this is dedicated to the CoStar messages that I get sent to me.
Yes. That would be a good podcast.
But like we said before, like the pandemic and things like that, you had maintenance. So obviously we don't really know when life is really gonna pick up again in more of like a normal sense. You know, that's kind of seems like the ETA on it is just out there, but I'm hoping, you know, that when everything does pick up, that maintenance comes back. And did you ever have any like solo nights?
I did not so much with maintenance, since that was our collective, but I was spinning at Valley Bar on sporadic happy hour sets. They started doing this thing where they invited a DJ to come in on Friday evenings, just before their, you know, the whatever event that they had that night, whether it be Party with a Purpose or Basement Tapes radio. And so, yeah, I did a few of those where it was just me in the evening at Valley Bar. Right before the pandemic, I think it was like the week before I started working from home, I was had a gig that I was going to play at Gracie's, and this was with Malia, who is the partner of Pretty Lights, and he had his gig going with various DJs on, I think, Thursday nights at Gracie's. So we had gotten together. I think he had gotten sick or something. So it was just me and Malia, and we had such a good time. So they had us back, and it was such a bummer because I think it was raining that night mixed with, like, all of the, you know, people were starting to become privy to the, I guess, how dangerous this virus was. And so it was a real bummer that we had to cancel that night. But that was, that looked like a promising thing where we would have, like, a residency there once a month.
Oh, well, I hope that, you know, Gracie's can still go on, and that, oops, sorry, and that that can be brought back once everything kind of, whenever that is, goes back to normal. Are there any parties that you would say are worth, like, attending or memorable that you remember?
Say that again.
Like, any, are there any parties kind of thing, like how, like, 6-0 Tuesdays is, like, a party that gets thrown, or, like, loose joints and stuff? Are there any parties that maybe when things start back up that you would recommend people would go to, other than, of course, maintenance and any time that you'd be playing or Claire?
Yeah, those are more, you know, chill sets where we get to play whatever we want. It's definitely a different vibe than, say, something that, like, Tara Lopez or Dega are hosting. So I wouldn't compare the two at all. Like, please, if you want to come chill out, like, come listen to us at Valley Bar. But in terms of, like, where the party is at, those are some parties that I'm very much looking forward to attending again.
And I actually have a question. I guess I want to move it back here. When you first moved out here, were things, because, so the way it used to be before, like, because, like, way back in the day, was everything was actually concentrated way east in, like, Tempe, because ASU, and then eventually because of everything that's happening. So when you first moved out here, was it like that, like, things were more happening and popping on the east side than they were, like, in central Phoenix?
Yeah, I would say so. So I kind of migrated my way to downtown because when I first moved out, I lived with my brother, out in Gilbert. And then I lived in Mesa for a time where I followed a stupid boyfriend and then moved out. And the same thing happened again with a Scottsdale thing where I moved out there. Like north Scottsdale. And then I lived in Tempe for a time. This was still when I was underage though. So I wasn't really, I think I went to time out a lot, underage. And then this was when time out was really hopping in Tempe in like 2005. Anyway, from there, I ended up migrating out to downtown, and I've been here since 2009.
Okay, so would you say, does the community feel like it's bigger now, or do you feel like, it's obviously grown, but at the same time, it's one of those, like, even if you don't know somebody directly, someone you know will know that, like, will know that person, it's still kind of small?
Oh, it's a very small town, yes, absolutely. Everyone's related by one degree or less.
You're like, not as small as Barstow or the High Desert, but still. Yeah. You went from one desert to another, basically.
I did. Yes.
That's like what we said to, Aaron, you know, Jake, Aaron.
Yeah.
Aaron, too. Mm-hmm. He's from Bakersfield. And then when I learned that, I'm like, you're just like a desert kid.
Oh, wow. Bakersfield.
She's like, that's all interesting. Right. I see you, Aaron. Yeah. Well, I wanted to say thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. And I like the perspectives that you gave from your own and how you moved out here and just all the things that you had to say. So just really quick before we go, can you let people know once again where they're able to find you? And also, I believe you have actually like a consistent show on Record Bar. So when usually you air?
I'm so sorry. Say that again.
You have an actual consistent show on Record Bar, correct?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. So just let them know, you know, usually when that time is, because I know some of them are like set in stone for certain times.
Yeah. So they're trying out a couple of different times just to see what works, what doesn't. But after this Sunday, we'll be taking a 2-week break and then we'll come back. But I am there this Sunday. So tomorrow you can find me at 5 p.m. I have the link in my bio on my Instagram. But you can also just Google, you know, YouTube Record Bar Radio. So for now, I'm up there on Sundays at 5 p.m.
Awesome. And then do you know, I will probably post it, but Record Bar Radio is also, if you did want to, because we know some people are in a tight situation within the pandemic, but to kind of help them with the cost of running everything, because they're literally not making money off of it, you can also donate to Record Bar, correct?
Absolutely, yes. This is definitely just something we all love to do and want to provide to the community, and nobody's making any money off of it, so we are very grateful if you guys just go over there, subscribe, donate, like, share, all of that. It's very much appreciated.
And what's your Instagram again, just to shout it out so everybody knows where they can follow you at?
Yep, Davina Davi, D-A-V-I-N-A, D-A-V-I, and that's on Instagram, as I'm not a huge Twitter user.
You're like, I can't use my typewriter on Twitter, guys.
Yeah, no. Precisely.
So, like I said, thank you so much. You can find us on pretty much any podcast platform. If we're not on there, let us know. We'll try to get on there. You can follow us on Instagram at Just Keep Spinning Podcast. We're also actually on Facebook. I always forget to promote that. I'm so horrible. But you can find us, just type in Just Keep Spinning Podcast, and we're on there. And you can email us at justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, thank you so much, Davina. We really appreciate it. And don't stop digging and just keep spinning.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.